Okay. I'm still more. There's more of me than there is of you.
I think that would probably happen. The punters might be. The punters might be happy about that.
Maybe.
Maybe I just need. Maybe I need to move the actual camera.
The camera instead of the people. It's up to you. Oh, there you go. Yep. Oh. Then I can shuffle back a little bit to my original position. You need marks on the floor.
Yeah, maybe that would be like a professional thing we could do, but we're not that professional, really.
This is the technical difficulties podcast.
Hey, mate, you're back.
I'm back.
Cheers. Welcome back. Hoddy Mai.
How's it going?
Ah, how did it happen? You made it back to...
I made it back to Aotearoa.
New Zealand.
Exactly.
Are you thrilled? Are you chuffed? Are you cold?
It's a little bit chilly.
How are your nipples?
They're a bit harder than they were in China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me the nipple state in China.
Like, oh, my nipples were loving it. My nipples were all over it.
Your dick hated it. No, your dick, in hot weather, dicks are much better. Because they flop further away.
Right.
Cold weather, the dick don't like it. Really. It's probably why the Nords are so big. They're like, we don't have small cocks. We just have to be huge people to make us look like we've got some sort of ding-a-ling down there. Whereas the Asians were like,
how the hell did this podcast already go down this route?
They get more distant. What do they say about the Asians? They say they don't have the biggest members, do they? I'm sorry to all our Asian listeners. I apologize. You may have a massive cock. Speaking of cocks, Manscaped.
God.
There we go. By the way, if you're new to this podcast,
this is Tony.
This is called 2 Cents Gets Distracted. It's a rugby podcast.
It's a rugby podcast. There will be rugby.
There will be rugby.
At some point, if you are viewing, there will be a little, it's probably already popped up on the screen that says rugby chat starts at, and then there'll be a timestamp. If you're listening, sorry,
if you're listening,
just keep fast forwarding.
You might want to use one of those little fast forwarding functions. Or if you're listening and you like a lot of nonsense for a little bit,
just enjoy.
Just listen to us, you know.
Talk about nipples.
Get deep into that nipple chat. Yeah. Get deep into your earlobes.
Yeah. I was in China for a month.
Yeah. How was it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Happy to be home.
It's good to be back. Yeah. Although this time, weirdly, we booked just the cheapest flight. Because you know me. I book the cheap stuff.
You're a high roller.
And the
opposite of that.
The connecting flight. We left Wuhan at like 9 p.m. And then we got to another city in China called Haikou, which left for Auckland at like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, crap.
That's a brutal time when you got two young ones.
Yes. How do they deal with the travel? Are they okay?
They mostly just slept. They were actually pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so not too bad. Like my son, after he was like playing games on the little screen as we took off.
Yeah,
You know, chill. They're going to give you some food. So just stay awake. Stay awake until you've had the food.
Yeah, exactly. And then I don't want to feed you again.
Yeah, exactly. After the food... Like, I was like, right, you need to go to sleep now. And he's like, oh, do you want me to try to go to sleep now? I'm like, yes, son, at 4:30 in the morning, I want you to try to go to sleep. He's like, as if it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He was like, boom.
He's like, oh, this isn't going to work.
He was gone.
Yeah.
So it was grand.
And the girl, she's not too bad. She sleeps pretty well.
Yeah, well, we boarded that flight. We checked in really late because the connecting flight was delayed. So we were among the last people on. So she was sitting a few rows back.
All right.
So I didn't get to see much of her during the flight.
So the wife takes care of the girl. No, so it's boys and girls split.
Well, it's usually I go with my daughter because she's slightly smaller and I'm slightly bigger. So we figure between the two of us, there's more space.
Yes.
But I'm a bit of a prick.
You are a bit of a prick. And, I agree. Is this related to
my daughter had a bit of a dicky belly. And I was like, I'm not dealing with that shit. I'm not dealing with that literal shit. My wife could deal with that. But thankfully, she was fine on the plane. But like, I was like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm a 1950s dad. Yeah, you take care of the children.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm gonna be in tip-top shape to talk about rugby in front of a whiteboard tomorrow. So you handle that. No. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're a
bit of a scumbag.
No surprises. It's a surprise to most people. Most people would see you as a real nice guy, but you get to know him. He's a real
prick.
Real piece of shit.
Exactly.
Speaking of piece of shit, I had my channel. I made a video. Well, there was a video made on my channel.
That video was classic. People need to watch that video.
No, it's a terribly performing.
If you haven't seen that video, you should go watch Tony's.
Really, this is not a great place to do the plug, to be honest. Well, it's good because I think this is on my channel, really. Okay. But
is this video going on your channel?
I think the last one was on your channel, so I think this is on my channel. So you can say fuck.
Oh, I can fuck it off. Fucking A.
Okay, easy. But yeah, like it was a strange video. And so a lot of people took it in the spirit it was intended.
Yes.
And then also some South Africans listened to it too. I'm kidding. There are a lot of South Africans who took it in the way it was intended to.
Most people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what place they're from, people take things the way it's intended.
So the channel, my channel has a, believe it or not, it has a 90, yours probably has a higher one than I, it's got a 97% like to dislike ratio.
Right.
And that video had a 91%.
Okay, so slightly lower.
Slightly lower, but I thought it was going to be like, I'm literally shitting on.
Yeah.
Shitting on every, well, sorry, Heathwaltz. Yeah. Bloody Heath.
I hope we're going to see more of Heath.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I think the algo punished that video a bit because there's not been enough activity on the channel.
And I also released it at, you know how you get that, you get a chart in YouTube, it tells you when
prime time,
when your viewers are on. Mm. And I had just had it done on like a random Wednesday.
Just going live, baby.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. And I just put it out right at the worst time. So in that first 24 hours, and also the algo, and maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't as... It was all right.
But it'll still... I think it'll pick up when international season comes along.
Maybe. We'll
see. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, it was really a preview to that. It could have been probably released closer to that.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hateful Heath from Huntly. Go check it out if you haven't.
It's really funny. I enjoyed it. I actually laughed.
Like out loud?
Out loud. It takes a bit to get me to laugh out loud. Yeah, just sit there and I go, that's funny.
No, he was very vengeful, and he's got some terrible pictures of me that can't be seen to the public.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I figured if I really took some real good shots, we're breaking the fourth wall. Heath is me, but if I took some massive shots of me, I wanted to somehow get you into it by calling you. But I wanted to be like, I know his uncle, and he told me he was a long string of weasel piss, because that's what your uncle calls.
Yes.
So he's going to...
That uncle's still alive, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's mates with Heath. Would he be mates with Heath, that guy?
Well, he's from Whakatane, so...
Yeah, Whakatane and Huntly Heath. They'd be mates.
There you go. Oh. Old Clive. How's it going, Clive? Uncle Clive?
What's the chances Clive is watching?
Slim to none.
But there is a chance.
There's always a chance.
Don't tell me the odds.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're back.
I'm back.
And
I didn't watch a heck of a lot of rugby while I was gone.
So I watched more rugby than you did.
You would have watched more rugby while I was away, yes. There was a little bit of news that came out. Geordie Barrett has decided to go off Leinster to Ireland for his sabbatical, which, I mean, I'll give my take on it in a second, but what's your take on it? You pleased? You disappointed?
I am ambivalent.
You've livid.
I'm ambivalent.
You don't give a shit.
I'm like, okay, how much All Black... So I'm not a Kane supporter. I like the Canes. But yeah, good on them. Good luck to them. And if any way that we can keep our best players by giving them these sort of Japanese sabbaticals or these European sabbaticals or just giving them... He's a young man who wants to live in a different part of the world for a little bit.
Yep.
But if he can come back and play for the All Blacks and still be, you know, contribute to New Zealand rugby in a lot of ways, he deserves it. No, I'm not at all irritated about it.
Yeah.
Would like to see him go to Munster.
Hmm.
Or my other favorite team in Europe, the Harlequins.
Hmm.
It's fine. Good on them. Good luck to them. Have a good time.
What
Enjoy
I like
it.
About
Great
it is,
crack.
Like you mentioned, Japan. I think Geordie must be the first guy taking a sabbatical who's not going to Japan.
Mm.
The initial guys who used to do it, like Richie,
Dan,
they just took time off. Like, Richie just took no game time. Like, he was seen at, like, all kinds of events.
He went to David Letterman.
Yeah, he's just chilling. he was just chilling. He just didn't play any rugby.
Which was probably the best thing for him.
Definitely.
I think
that was the kind of idea, is that these guys get, like, Conrad Smith did it. A bunch of them did it. Like, just to reinvigorate these guys in their 30s, they played a lot of rugby.
They want to
just get their bodies back right into shape and then hit the, like, kind of World Cup year.
Full steam.
And then it's kind of switched to like, well, we're not so worried about our bodies. We just want to make some fucking cash.
And the NZR has used it as a way of going, look, you're not going to earn the megabucks, but we will let you earn a few million yen.
You can go take a big payday over in Japan. And it's always been Japan. Artie's gone to Japan. D-Mac's gone to Japan. Bodie's gone to Japan. Brody's gone to Japan. Yeah. They all go to Japan.
Because it's a big
payday. It's a big payday. And I think fewer games.
But it's nice to see him go to...
It's a tour, not Japan. I mean, nothing against Japan, but it's lovely to see a guy, a top All Black, go into a top European club. And, yeah, I will get to see him play. Like, I mean, when we see these guys come back from Japan, I haven't seen the Japanese game. Yeah. So I don't know what kind of form he's in.
And it's going to one of the most illustrious clubs in the world.
They're about to compete in the Champions Cup final. Like, he's genuinely going to get to play in some of the biggest games.
Yeah. And boy, oh boy. What a mouth-watering final we have on our hands here.
We do.
Holy smokes. Any other news that was going on
while
you're away? That
was the main one that kind of happened while I was away. I think the English women won the Women's Six Nations really easily. They smashed the French, and they've won, I think, three in a row now. So
I hurt my back.
You hurt your back watching the Women's Six Nations? Or I was celebrating. Oh,
exactly. I was like, what? No, I was helping my daughter learn how to ride a bike.
Ooh.
And I was sort of on the back of it, holding the back of it. The bike was slightly too big for her, so I got her a smaller bike afterwards, which now she rocks it.
Yep.
But I was like holding the back of it. I was in that sort of crouched low position for a long time, for like a good half an hour, just walking around holding the back of it without training wheels. Just holding the back, making sure it doesn't fall over. And then I kind of, you know, you do the magic moment where
you let go.
You let them go and they... So I tried to do that, and she just went, but she was going down.
She's going down!
And, you know, they put their leg out. Hopefully,
did you shout out, Tim?
Yeah, I shouted all sorts of things. But I went to go lurched kind of sideways to grab her, and just something in my spine went... and I kind of didn't even grab her. I kind of grabbed the bike, but she was still going. So she fell off on the road.
Right.
So she's screaming and like in pain. And I'm like, I can't move.
And she's like, Daddy, help me. Why are you helping
and
me?
Like, I can't move. And I'm like, you know, when your back goes, you're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, have to like hobble to the side. And then I'm trying to do these stretches and stuff. And then
she's
like,
on the ground crying.
Yeah, it was awful. And then like managed to get back to the house. And then, I do a little bit of work. And then I was like, okay, we'll go back out. My back still feels a bit stiff.
Yeah.
And then I try again, but I try in the backyard on the grass.
Right.
So if she falls over, it's not gonna be too bad.
Yeah.
But we're doing it and like we do it for a while. And then she, you know, lies on the ground because she's had enough. She's like having a bit of a hissy fit about the whole thing. And I get onto the ground going, what's going on? And then she goes inside and starts having a fight with my partner about something. Nice. And then I'm like, I'm just going to stay out here for a little while. And then I was like, okay, I better try and get back in. And then I just was stuck in the middle of my backyard and I couldn't move. Jeez. I was just like... And I was trying to call Lydia. I was like, I can't move. And then she was answering her phone. And I could hear them arguing with each other. And then I'm just this old man in my backyard going, Lydia, Lydia, Lydia. So then I have to crawl on my belly to try and get into the house. And I couldn't. It was a scene. It was a bad scene.
You came right.
I'm schwitzing here as well.
And she learned to ride a bike?
Yeah, we got there in the end.
Nice. I've taught both my kids to ride a bike. It's pretty satisfying.
It is pretty
satisfying. I also did the run behind the bike thing, but I'm pretty lazy, and that's really hard work.
That is hard work.
So I taught both of my kids to ride a bike through the fling technique. So
then you need to get them to learn how to coast first.
Basically, I would say I'm just going to fling you forward a bit. Just stay balanced as long as you can. And eventually they get the idea of like they can until they run out of momentum. I'm like, right, now you can do that. You start with a really little one and then just get bigger and bigger. Once they can go for basically the whole momentum, then I'm like, right, now I want you to start pedaling.
So I just
fling them. It worked a lot better than me running around after them.
Yeah. But he's a strong-willed little kid who's like doesn't want to do things she doesn't want to do basically. But she did good. She did good. We got there in the end. And
it's one of my most satisfying parenting moments, though. Like, you couldn't ride a bike, and then I made you ride a bike. Give me that credit.
It's my victory.
Yeah, exactly. So, very satisfying.
Yes. Any other rugby news? Apart from my back and the ability to ride a bike now. The child.
Yeah, I think that's like... There were some big games on at the weekend, which I want to get to.
A little bit on Super Rugby, just quickly before we rip into it. The Australians doing a lot better. A lot of surprising results. Like
this season has just
way better.
Genuinely been all over the shop, which is fantastic.
And I've been one of my favorite teams to watch this year.
The Crusaders.
You know it. They you just know keep it. Getting pumped. I have been finding it so satisfying. But one thing that I'm terrified of, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later. Right. We'll talk about a little bit later that my fear around the Crusaders. I'm still scared. Okay. I'm still scared. Should we get into the?
Too many times.
Should we get into the Heineken's Cup?
Let's start with some semi-finals because there were a couple of big games. Now, I missed during April. I missed all like the quarters and the round of 16.
I watched. I kind of watched some of that.
Okay, how was it?
It was good, entertaining rugby.
There were some big hidings though, weren't there? Like Leinster knocked out La Rochelle, the reigning champions, by a massive margin.
Yeah.
And then the Bulls sent out a B team and they got
walloped. That was very odd. But didn't they have like a game in the weekend and a midweek game and another game at home in the following weekend?
Something like that. So Jake White was like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, and then they sent a team of nobodies. Yeah. Was that the team that Northampton beat?
Yes.
Yeah, right. And it was like, because I was like, who? I couldn't barely recognize the single player from the Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was odd. Like they have like Kurtley Ahrenser and all those guys. Don't
yeah,
they?
Exactly. Yeah, and you're like, hey, where's Kurtley?
But you think, and I was like, isn't this meant to be one of like the most prestigious game? You know, prestigious competition.
That is one thing that I find since I've started following the European club games is like it doesn't happen a lot in Super Rugby. It happens a little bit. Like sometimes if a team they've already qualified, they're going to finish top three or something, there's one game left in the season, they send a B team out in that final game. It happens a little bit. It happens a lot more regularly in European rugby that they're like, we're fucking focusing on this one.
So that
competition can suck a dick. We're sending the B team.
It happens
quite a lot. Like the Bulls have obviously shifted. They're going to go, we're going to focus on the URC. Sometimes the French League, because they have relegation, if the team is qualified for the Champions Cup, which is this big illustrious comp, but they're doing poorly because they would have qualified with their results from the previous year.
Yeah.
If this current year they're doing crap and they're risking relegation, they're like, nah.
No, we can't.
Bugger that. We have to survive. So they send the B team. So like it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough. Like Leinster and the URC regularly send out the youngsters because they're focused on the Champions
Cup. I guess it's good for those players to be blooded for sure.
A lot of these guys, the reason they're as good as they are is because they got opportunities.
At a
top level competition. So,
but there's nothing like that because Super Rugby is just Super Rugby. If you're a franchise team,
there's no secondary competition. There's no picking and choosing.
But if you're a Premiership team, you're involved in the Premiership. You could be involved in the.
They've got a Premiership Cup. They've got Premiership, and they've got like the Champions Cup or Challenge Cup. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like there was a Challenge Cup game in the weekend as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of the Challenge Cup.
I watched
Cup
the
games.
First half of
it. I was under the impression that you couldn't watch them in New Zealand, but you're like, I watched it.
I watched it and I think I made halftime comments with the Kiwi lads.
Oh really? Oh my god.
I know.
He watched it as well.
Then I went to bed. Behind the times. I just watched the second half. It was very late. Well, what was it?
Was it the Sharks game?
It was the Sharks against Clermont.
Right.
And Clermont was scoring all these beautiful tries and the South African team was kicking penalties.
Nice.
So I could frame it this way. The Clermont were being French and scoring some great tries, whereas the Sharks were being hard-nosed and rugged and taking advantage of the ill discipline of Clermont.
There you go. Both are entertaining rugby to watch.
Yeah, it was actually a really entertaining game. Yeah. And it was one of those games that you like where it's like, look, there's different styles.
Yeah.
Not everybody has to run the ball.
There you go. Show JK that game.
But I didn't actually see the second half. I know that the Sharks won.
Okay.
It was like, three tries to nil in the first half.
Right.
And the
Sharks were ahead.
The Sharks were right in it. Okay, yeah, I think they were winning for long parts of it.
Right.
But then it was... I think it was maybe a one-point game at the end or a couple of points.
That's good. That's what you like to see.
Yeah. We've tried to get into these games six times.
Up against Northampton. That was semi-final number one at Croke Park, which is the
the
Gaelic football stadium.
It's like the spiritual home of
80,000 seats.
It's quite impressive.
They sold it out in 3 hours.
Huge. Yeah.
Like, could we sell out an All Blacks game in an 80,000 seater in New Zealand in 3 hours? I don't think so.
If it was
depends on the game.
If it was a World Cup game, yes,
for sure.
If it was a World Cup final, yes.
Yeah.
If it was a British and Irish Lions game, yes.
But
if it was
not much else,
maybe a bock test.
A bock test, they go on sale for weeks.
Yeah, okay. Maybe a
and that's out of 50,000 seats. This is 80,000.
Yeah,
that's insane. The Irish are into their rugby.
Yeah, they're really into
big
it.
Big time.
And it's a club game.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, that's the All Blacks. The Blues, could they sell out a 25,000
seat? No, that you can give away that many seats.
No.
Yeah, no, like.
Even for a Super Rugby final, you wouldn't be able to. You could sell it out at Eden Park, 50,000, yeah. But you wouldn't get 80,000.
No, I don't think you would.
No.
We're an apathetic bunch.
Yeah, we are.
It's our natural game. It's meant to be a religion here in New Zealand, but people are a bit meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to get a bit like that, if I can just get distracted again, with the Ranfurly Shield.
Yeah, the Ranfurly Shield.
Like some provinces would win it, and they'd have a parade down the street. Yeah. Auckland would win it. We're like, we don't care.
No, we did one in North Harbour when we won it.
Right.
Wokeson Duadua, last-minute try against Canterbury. What year are we talking? 2004, 2005? Rudy Wolf, my mate, was in... when I say my mate, I played rugby with him.
There you go.
And he was nice. He was a really lovely guy. He was in that team.
They had a parade.
We had a really mini parade in Takapuna. No, I didn't go.
You didn't go.
I went into Takapuna the night we won it. And
right, got on the piss.
Got on the piss.
Nice. That's just as good as a parade.
Even better, so some people would say. So you
watched Leinster against Northampton.
Yeah.
Leinster go into this one.
Red hot favourite. Massive
favourites. The bookies are saying 14 points.
Yes, and the commentators certainly believe it.
Commentators? Holy shit. I don't know what commentators you guys got, but we had a couple of Irish fans.
Oh my God.
And like The Leinster lineup comes up, and they are sucking some dick.
They were just,
and then the Northampton lineup comes out.
They were cradling the balls. They were working the shaft, and they were swallowing the gravy. The
Northampton lineup comes out, and they're already saying how these guys are going to struggle.
Yeah, exactly.
But the game hasn't even started.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're saying they might struggle.
I don't recognize him. There's Courtney Lawrence. I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Mitchell, I believe he's played a couple of tests.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him a world class number nine.
It was different.
No, but then in the second, I was thinking like
when James Lowe scored his third try, they were like, "That's the game. Yeah. That's the game."
There was 38 minutes left, and like that's the last nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. And they were acting like they were 30 points up with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were 18 points up, 17 points up with 38 minutes to go. It's a momentum game. It's a momentum sport. How many times over the weekend do we see teams go bang, bang?
Exactly.
And then the whole game changes.
Yes.
You know?
Admittedly, at that point, I wouldn't have been picking Northampton to come either, but I wouldn't be saying they're dead and buried.
But as a commentator, you should say, look, the Northampton...
Got a long way to come back.
Yeah, it's got a steep hill to climb here.
They need to score next, kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like... this could get away from them.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not looking good.
Yes.
But they were certainly not, and they weren't out of it. They made a good game of it.
That's
they
right.
They were wholly dominated in that first half.
Oh, for sure.
They
would have been pretty happy with the scoreline went in, what it was. I forget what it was. Yeah, yeah. Like something like something three. I
Boy, Leinster are a quality outfit.
For sure.
They are such a good team to watch. They so just many seem Irish to make
internationals that side. James Gibson Park was on fire.
Oh, he was incredible. That first try, that just presence of mind, like tap
and there. That and then nice the second one with pass. The slap.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He is just next level, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He'd make the All Blacks.
Yeah, I think so.
James Lowe played very, very well. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't do anything wrong.
Mm.
He's not like electric speed winger, but he's just like his kicking game. I even like his kicking game.
Kicking game is massive.
Yeah, he's
huge
great.
Huge boot.
Yeah, I thought Byrne didn't do too much wrong. Could do with a little bit more pace, couldn't he?
Yeah, he's not real quick.
His kicking at the poles wasn't.
He's
great.
Like Grant Fox, I guess. If Grant Fox wasn't that good a goal kicker. Like Grant Fox was never that gassy, but he'd push the backs around. That's his job. He'd direct the backs around the park. But he's not like a Bowden Barrett who's gonna, he's gone. Like he got that intercept, and you're like, he's not gonna make.
No, yeah, exactly.
He looked like
he was running a quicksand.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not very fast.
Yeah.
I think he usually kicks better than that, to be fair, but he had a pretty poor night. I think he had 40% off
what
the
tee. What is it, Tug Byrne? Porter and what's your name? Is it Tug?
Tug Furlong.
Tug Furlong. Whoa, he was up for that game. There was one bloody, slow-mo of him celebrating a penalty afterwards, and it looked like Jabba the Hutt, like having an orgasm. No offense, Doug, I'm sure he's an avid watcher.
Yeah.
But it was like strange and unnatural how happy he was watching a big man celebrate that. He played out of his skin.
Yeah.
He really did. Like, yeah, and they're just stout defenders. They just seem to do most things right.
Did they switch off a little bit once they got that try?
I think so. Mm. I think so. And if they do that against Attilos, they're going to be...
they're going to get...
spanked. Yeah. But Toulouse are going to have, if Toulouse defend the way they defended this this weekend, they're going to have big problems.
Yeah, both
well.
Sides that won their semis were red hot favourites, but also kind of showed that they're still a bit vulnerable at times.
100%, I mean, which was great. Yeah. Entertaining rugby.
Northampton did well. I mean, they scored those two tries, Hendy and Seabrook, both the kind of outside backs, good tries later on, put the pressure on. It was great to see them actually just keep at it, right? Because a lot of sides would fold.
Yeah, and they seemed like they were like
they had this a lot more ball in the second half too, and they stopped dropping the fucking thing in the first half. God, they were.
They seemed like a stun mullet a little bit. There was
pressure, I think, maybe
caught on the deer and the headlights sort of jazz. But they got a little bit of cohesion to their game.
They took a little bit of the foot off the throat, and they
They played like they were playing in the most important club game of their lives, which. Exactly. You know, I don't know a huge amount about Northampton, but what kind of success rate do they have?
They haven't had any success in this competition for a long time.
I like the look of their number 8. Who's he?
Oh, Augustus, the South African fella. He used to play for the Stormers. Yeah, he was having a cracking game.
Whoa, he's mean.
Yes.
Yeah, ferocious.
He's a very good player. He's one of those South African guys, kind of like Gibson Park and Lowe have done as from a Kiwi point of view. Like, Augustus was all good for the Stormers.
Yeah,
but he's definitely taken his game up another level since he's gone abroad.
The hooker for Northampton also, I think he's a gamer. He put in a couple of big shots.
Northampton four pack did all right. I think once they kind of got some momentum, it was.
And they'll big upping their number 11.
Was that Hendy on one wing? I forget.
Yeah, Hendy had the great put down. Yeah. Or was that the other one?
It was a cracking Seabrook.
There was a cracking put down.
Yeah, Hendy, I know, dropped one, which led up to one of Lentz's early tries. Dropped a high ball. But anyway.
They were talking about Hendy as if he was like a shoo-in for like being an England cap one day.
Okay.
One day.
England have got quite a few good backs. Yeah, Mitchell was kind of outclassed by Gibson Park.
Yeah, I think everyone in the world would have been outclassed by...
Yeah.
He was... Jameson Gibson Park had a worldie.
Yeah.
And a worldie.
Mitchell dropped a couple of balls. Their line-out was
Can somebody tell Jameson Gibson Park to shave his head?
Yeah. Just let it go.
Let it go, bro. Let it go. Yeah. Which I can't talk.
Right.
But he should.
I still have a full head of hair, but I can't grow a beard like him. So you win some, you lose some.
What do you look like when you have a beard?
I can't grow a full beard. I can grow a goatee.
Have you got?
I can grow a wee mo. But if you were looking on
the
camera.
Do you mind if I touch your face?
That is.
Hair there?
No, I haven't shaved for one day. That's one day.
Yeah, but it's not going to grow on one day.
I understand. That's not a lot.
Who would like to see Mark? Up. Speaking of bodily hair, Manscape, everybody.
Do you want to hear Tony talk about Manscaped?
We got approached by Manscaped.
You
sponsor.
Got approached by Manscaped.
Yeah.
I did not get approached by nobody.
And I'm keen to do it. I'm keen to do it, but he doesn't like talking about pubes. But if you shave your pubes, use any product you like because we're not sponsored by Manscaped. But maybe one day. Who knows? Who knows? Mark.
The other semifinal.
Oh, a cracking game.
It was like 2 in the fucking morning.
I did not watch it at that time.
Me neither.
But it was really, really entertaining.
It had kind of a similar vibe. Like dominant first half.
But I still thought that the Harlequins are just dangerous. And I feel like they play with this philosophy of like, if you're going to score 39 points, that's cool. We'll score 40.
Yeah.
Like
they don't go into a game thinking we're going to shut you out. They're no. Like, we're going to outscore you.
Yeah, I really, really like the way they play.
Like the cut of their jibs, eh?
I don't like the cut of their jibs.
Some of the tries they conceded were so soft. Oh, two line-out errors and then one from a restart where they just got turned
when
over.
They got to 12-all with like 10 minutes to go. I think that was the point that was part of the game that, apart from Marla having an absolute brain fart, that part of the game where 30 minutes they got to 12-all, they were battling away, they were in and out, they were hot and they were cold, they were up and they were down. You're wrong when it's right. It's black and it's white. We fight, we break up. We kiss, we make up.
Yeah, copyrighted.
Yep. But then there was that just a stupid little fumble. The halfback mate has a meal of it. Throws a pass to
Flamont.
Flamont.
It ended
Flamont.
Up with Flamont.
And then Flamont got it without the headgear, which was odd to see.
Do you hear the commentators talk about that?
I heard something about he couldn't use the colour he wanted.
Yeah, apparently you have to use colour which matches your team's colours now, and he's like, fuck you!
So he doesn't, he's like, who? I don't care about concussion anymore. What colour does he like to use?
I thought he usually used red. When he wears France, he wears red, doesn't he?
It's just maybe he just wanted to be contrary.
Maybe if he's
and then they leaked a couple of two quick ones before halftime.
Yeah, DuPont scored both of them, 33 minutes and 37 minutes.
That's right. And then you thought, that was. I was thinking to myself, it looked like it was going to be a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they spent the. Then they were the dominant team in the second half.
Absolutely, they scored the first two tries in the second half. Murley got one, and Tyrone Green got one. Both crackers.
Yeah, and then old.
Malia, once they got that yellow card.
Oh, yeah.
The yellow
card
for that that kind of clean out on DuPont. You can't touch DuPont.
You can't touch DuPont.
I mean, it was a bad clean out.
It was a bad clean out. He was lucky it wasn't red.
Yeah.
If there were 20 minute reds, I think there would have been a red.
You reckon?
Yeah. It was interesting. Like, the referee, what's his
Matt
name?
Matt Carley, I think it was. Andrew Brees.
They were trying to talk him into a red. Like, the assistant was like, he was like, "You think it's red?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "It's yellow for me."
Mm.
Which was kind of interesting to see, because a lot of times you see referees go,
"That is kind of
they'll insinuate what they think." I think it's yellow. I think it was a clean out. He didn't go in a malicious whatever he was trying to say. And someone else says,
"I think you should just have another look at this angle."
Yeah, and then you go, oh, "Okay, it's a red then."
Yeah,
you know, they'll always go with the person that is the most severe.
Yeah.
But they were,
he was like, nope, sticking to my guns, which is what I like to see in a ref.
Yeah. What was it? It seemed like pretty much direct head contact, though, with force.
But I guess because he said it was a legit attempt because he was bent, but anyway.
To clean it. It is a tricky part of the game. Yeah. And but then, people are in those positions all the time.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And then Toulouse immediately scored.
Mm.
Immediately. Malia got a great finish in the corner.
And then, but you're still sort of thinking there, going, I like Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
And you think these guys are capable of magic. We could be in for an absolute grandstand finish here.
Yeah.
And then Marlo wants to clip Ramos around the ears.
Yeah, that was dumb.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Favorite bit, though, there was a, because obviously Marlo, I forgot his name, but Marlo wasn't happy about it. And they cut to a, MCU on him, medium close up. You just see him looking at Ramos going, "You little bitch."
Really?
Yeah. You fully mouth it. Like, yeah, it's "you little bitch." And yeah, it was. I'm not saying he was being a little bitch, but yeah, it was a clip around the ears. It was like, it was nothing like.
Egregious.
It wasn't going to cause a massive injury.
Just don't do it.
Why would you do that at that moment? They just won the penalty, you know?
Why give the ref a reason to turn the penalty around?
If they got that penalty, what would they would have still been a point?
They still had 3 minutes or 2 minutes left. They needed to score, but it at least would have if they'd scored and then take the kick.
Crazy,
and
funnier things have happened in sport. Yeah,
exactly.
You get the draw, you get a quick line out maul. They got a line out try.
Yeah.
So the Toulouse, they showed a lot of vulnerabilities all over the park. Yeah,
Both pretty entertaining games, and it makes for a cracking final.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're a New Zealander watching this going, "I don't watch European rugby."
You should watch that, because it's pretty good.
And now we've got the two, maybe the two biggest clubs in the world right now up against each other.
Both atmospheres were insane.
Yeah, totally. And where is it? It's getting played
London at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to dig up that pitch. Sorry, footballers. I would say sorry, Harry Kane, but he doesn't play for them anymore. He plays in Germany.
They have that Sam Heung-min guy.
Okay.
The guy that does that.
Okay. All I know is Harry Kane went to Bayern Munich, and they've won the Bundesliga for I don't know how many years in a row, 10. And then as soon as he went there, they've
gone to shit.
Well, they haven't gone to shit, but Leverkusen ended up winning.
All right.
For the first time, it's because Harry Kane never wins any premiership trophies with Tottenham. So he's like, "Oh, I'm pretty much guaranteed to win if I go to these." I'm sorry. bleep that. Unless you're going to get demonetized.
Yeah, can't drop the C bomb.
But they don't win.
Far out, I have to look for the C bomb now.
That's right at the clap. Look for the clap.
Clap loudly.
Boom. There you go.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. Really handy stuff.
Anyway, that's European rugby.
That's European rugby.
The final's going to be on at 1:45 in the morning.
On Sunday?
In a couple of weeks. The end of May, I think 26th our time.
All right, okay. But it's not on Monday. That's the main thing, you know?
Mm.
Well, yeah. No, but it's mouthwatering clash. It really, really is. And if you love rugby, you should watch it. And I enjoyed the quarterfinals for the ones I caught.
Yeah, it's literally half the Irish team or more up against half the French team.
I'd like to see the South Africans take it a little bit more seriously. Like, I think if...
yeah, I don't know what the other lineups
Well, they got that travel issue and all that sort of stuff. And, like, they were in a precarious situation, like, having three games in a week and having, like, 16,000... That's 16, still a 000. Bit
of a contentious one, I think. Like, some of the French and English fans are like, why are these guys in the European Cup? This is a European Cup. Like, if they want to play here, they should come and play, base themselves in, like, Spain or something, you know? So we don't have to... I mean, that's just fans. Yeah, fans talking. But, I mean, just, like, the travel, it's just... It's just long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a lot longer to fly to South Africa than it is to fly to London.
And, like, I see a lot of the coverage I do see of URC and Premiership and all that sort of stuff. It's like, stadiums are relatively pretty good for the most part. The Premiership can be a little bit light on numbers. The Irish and URC crowds seem to be okay. But I see the South African games, and they seem pretty sparse. They're overloaded.
It's the sizes of the stadiums. It's why Super Rugby looks the worst, because the stadiums are big.
Unless you live in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Why can't a stadium isn't massive?
No, for seats 20,000 though. Like, a lot of those Premiership stadiums and URC ones only seat like 10,000.
Yeah.
If you get, like, I think the Edinburgh one. Or was it the Glasgow one? I forget. It literally seats less than 10,000 people, but it's always full.
And then you got the
stadium. And it just looks cracking.
Yeah, and like it used to be back in the day with North Harbour, you used to be like, felt like there was 100,000 people on your domain.
Yeah.
And there was like 15,000 of us, 12,000 of us, you know?
Exactly. So I would say most of the leagues probably average relatively similar numbers. Super Rugby doesn't publish their numbers anymore, which is a bit...
Because they're so crap.
Yeah, because they're so crap compared to what they used to be. But most of the clubs get 10,000. Like, people tell me, there's no way the Blues had 10,000. Look at those seats. They're so empty. What's...
Yeah, well, there's 50,000.
50,000 seats.
One in five.
I've literally been to those games sometimes when they have announced the numbers over the 10 or...
11,000 people?
Yeah, exactly. And I've been like, oh, yeah. That's what 10,000 looks like. So I've got a decent gauge on what Eden Park is like. So I think the URC numbers get brought down a little bit by the Italians, because sometimes their crowds are like 2,000 or 3,000. But the Rebels don't get a heck of a lot either in Super Rugby. The top 14 gets the most. I think they average like 18,000, but they've got a couple of clubs who bring that up as well.
Oh well, look. There's another rugby competition going on in the world
Super
right now.
Super Rugby.
And it's super duper. I'm enjoying this year.
It's best year in a long time.
Yeah. I honestly
think the Crusaders storyline is part of the reason it's entertaining.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they've not only just not looked like if they were just like where the Chiefs are right now, like in fourth, that would be normal.
Seven time
champions. Back to back to back to back to back to back to back champions.
Jesus.
That's unbelievable. Like, Bayern freaking Munich, they finished... Well, I don't know if the season's over, but they're in second. Like, that would be... Like, if Rob Penny takes over and the Crusaders are second or third, you'd be like, well, there was bound to be a little bit of drop-off when Razor left.
Yeah.
But they've won two games out of 10.
And they're playing in a competition where it is so amazingly easy if you're semi-decent compared to your competition to make the finals.
Yes.
There are 12 teams, 8 teams get through. It's stupid. We lose all tension in a lot of the games because it's not like, oh, we're desperate, or we really needed to get that number one or number two. There's no advantage, really. If you get top four, you get the home semi. I guess that's the only real advantage. We pretty much know who the top four are already. And so it loses a lot of like drama and tension and all that sort of thing, because you don't really care. But considering that they're the 7-time defending champions, they are in a real, real hard fight to make the incredibly easy to make top 8.
They're in 10th spot.
You know, and they're up against the Drua, the Highlanders, or them. You know,
Drua are in 8th.
The Highlanders
are in 7th. Even Moana Pacifica is above them in 9th.
Yeah, Moana Pacifica aren't going to make it. Where are the Highlanders? I thought they were out of the 8.
The Highlanders are in 7th. They're on 19 points. Because they've had 2 wins in a row.
They beat
the Force and then Moana Pacifica. So they beat a couple of the lowly teams.
But I think they've got a hard run home.
Mm. They've got Crusaders next.
Come on, Islanders. And like, as and, and, uh,
But what's crazy is...
I'm pity.
The Crusaders, who are 2 from 10, which is a pretty bad record.
Yeah.
They are only, because they're on 13 points, the Drua are on 17 and are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're literally one win away. I don't know what the points difference is, but they're one win away from being in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
That's not good.
It's not ridiculous. You can't have 2 out of 10 wins. That many weekends be like, boom,
yeah,
boom. Boom.
Make and the
then,
playoffs.
Yeah, and then make the playoffs. It just loses its legitimacy. But anyway, that's the situation.
I don't know any fans who like that rule. But when they interviewed all 5 of the New Zealand franchise CEOs a few months ago, all 5 of them said they like the way it is.
Okay, imagine if there's a policy within your company that you personally really dislike and you think it's an absolute load of bullshit.
Yeah.
But and the press come to you and say, what do you think of this thing that your boss has done?
Yeah.
It's good. It's
good. They all, and it was interesting because all,
they pay me to do a job.
All of their answers were like really robotic. Like a lot of the other questions, they had like quite articulate and varied answers.
Yeah.
All of their answers to that question were like one line.
This
like,
is the media line.
Like, yeah, we are currently happy with the format of the competition or something like that. You know, it was just like boom. It's only like, the Blues said, maybe we can look at reducing it in the future. We're currently happy with how it is.
Kind of reminds me of like, you know, comic book movies where like characters die and you're like, and then two movies later, they've got some sort of miracle
cure
and you're like.
So actually that didn't have any meaning at all.
Yeah. And like, it's just, there's no tension. There's no drama and it loses all its... you know, tension. And that's what you want in sport. You want to be on the edge of your seat going, we need to win this to keep our season alive.
Yeah.
And the Crusaders should be past that point. They should be dead and buried.
Does that mean it's good that it keeps the season interesting right till the end?
No, but there should be more interest. This is an aberration, the fact that this is interesting.
Mm.
Like, there should be interest in every week, you know. And also, if you're going for that number one or two spot, imagine if you're like, if we can win this, we get a bye in that first round. Mm. We've got an automatic semi-final. Mm. You know, that'd be great. You rest your team. There'll be teams super fighting for it, and you give them, you know, a little minor premiership trophy. Yeah. You know, you win that, you've won a trophy, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
a little bit like the NRL. People love me copying a bit of league stuff. You know, I think that would create a lot more interest. Yeah. But my sickening fear is. And this is a little bit about Scott Barrett as well, but you finish first. The Crusaders
finish eighth.
Crusaders scrape 2 wins together.
Mm-hmm.
They get Scott Barrett back, and they are a different team with Scott Barrett in it. And all of a sudden...
He's been back for like a week or two, hasn't he?
No, he didn't play this weekend. Oh, okay. He got injured again. And they look like... a great team against the Rebels when they played them.
Oh, that's that game they won. They won easily when he was back.
And he was immense.
That's right.
He was massive. He is so important to that team. He's so good. So, so good. The team, like, one of their biggest problems this year is they haven't had any go forward. They haven't had go forward.
They have a lot of injuries as well.
They have a lot of injuries. So if they get...
Blackadder's been out most of the time. Blackadder
got injured again. If they get Blackadder back, Scotty Barrett back, you know, they've got David Harvilli playing bloody 10 at the moment. So if they get some people back in key positions, all of a sudden...
You got to play the Crusaders.
You're playing the 7-time defending champions.
Yeah.
And a playoff. That's your reward.
That's your reward for finishing first.
And the Blues, one of their worst performances of this year was playing against a Crusaders team that played like shit.
Yeah.
Because they've got a mental hoodoo over us. Mm-hmm. Because they've hurt us.
Many times.
So many times.
Show us on the doll where the Crusaders hurt you.
Everywhere. Especially in my penis.
Yeah.
So look, maybe, how would you feel as a Blues fan, week number one, you've got the Crusaders, you're playing?
I'd rather have the Highlanders.
Yeah.
Or like the Drua.
Or the Rebels.
Or the Rebels.
The Rebels look like they're like a kid. Heads up to the big play to the Rebels, man. The team that's on the rack.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be here next year.
Probably not. They've had a couple of hidings, but they've also put in some decent performances. I think they're 5-5, which is 3 wins better than the Crusaders.
Yeah, aren't they? Are the Brumbies are the top team
top Aussie team.
Top
yeah.
Aussie.
Yeah. But they're, Brumbies, then the Reds and the Rebels have both got pretty similar records. So the Reds, I mean, the Reds have been unlucky because they've lost a lot of games at the death, like Golden Point loss, like last minute try to the Blues.
Yeah,
and another last minute one where they lost.
So. About the weeks where they just haven't turned up.
Yeah, they've had a couple of shock losses. I think the Force and one at Pacifica, which are like, what?
We bet them by like, they came to Eden Park and it was like, this is the route when you're away. This is the game of the
week. No, we went to Brisbane, didn't we?
We beat them in the last minute. I'm sorry, I was thinking of the Brumbies.
We smashed the Brumbies.
Yeah, but they
game
were
of the round.
Game of the round. Each time they've done that, the thing is the Canes and then us.
It's been awful.
They've got their asses handed to us. But then they went back home and bet the Canes.
Bet the Hurricanes.
Bet the Canes at home.
That's why the season's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. The Reds have played 5 New Zealand teams and won 3 games.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
They went down
in
Christchurch for the
good.
First time since 1999. What were you doing in 1999? In high school?
Lost my virginity in 1999.
There you go.
Did I? I was so excited about winning 1999. 5th form. Yeah, yeah. That's when I got it.
There you
popped
go.
It out.
Get it in there. Job so done.
There's a 5-year-old child I've never met just wandering around going, he's probably a real bastard. Yeah. 20s, Jesus. Yeah, yep. Yeah. That was what I was doing. What were you doing in 1999?
I was in high school.
Oh, me too. But
I was working in a car wash.
Oh, was that the cafe?
No, that was Rub-A-Dub.
How many cans?
I never worked at cafe. That's Matthew Ridge's one.
I thought you worked. Did Matthew Ridge come through? You had a story about some.
Mark Ellis came through and I cleaned his car and I was a real fucking brown nose.
You were a brown nose to him.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was just starstruck. And after he
you're
left.
You're on the tally.
After he left, I had that kind of self realization that I was acting like a complete knobhead.
What did you say? What did you like?
I was just being a real suck up. Like, I helped clean his car. I was like, I got your floor real clean, Mr. Ellis. And then, like, I put some extra spray, like, fragrance in your car, Mr. Ellis. Like, it wasn't even his car. He was returning it to TVNZ or whatever.
Right.
He had to clean it before he returned it. He did not give a shit.
He was like, okay, mate. As long as you didn't take a shit in it.
Exactly. I was pleased I at least had the realization at the moment to be like, why are you acting like a dick?
Back it off.
Back it off. So, anytime I've met anybody else, just be cool.
Just you, now you're cool when you meet
people. When I meet all the celebrities, I'm just fucking cool.
I remember I've met much larger celebrity. Well, not much. Well, I've met the King of England, for God's sake. So, yeah, he's a fair bit bigger than...
Yeah.
You know, the one time I felt like I did not handle a situation coolly when I met somewhat of a celebrity.
Right.
Only in New Zealand. I met Savage.
Oh, yeah.
From, Savage the rapper.
He's
the
rapper, yeah.
And he just released Decepticons, yeah. And he just released it. And me and my mate Charlie were really into Savage right at that moment. We're really enjoying our shit. And then I was lining up for the movies, and I was on a date with some me and him with some two girls, whatever. And then he was behind us. And this is like I'm not super young. I'm like in my early 20s or something. And I was like, oh my god, it's Savage, it's behind us. And I just acted like a giddy schoolgirl.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay. He was like, thanks, guys. Like, kind of weirded out by how excited we were to meet Savage. Like kind of screaming like he was a Beatle, basically. Didn't handle that situation coolly.
Yeah, just be cool.
Yeah.
People like it when you act normal.
Yeah, when you treat them like they're actual normal people.
Normal people, just other humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually meet a huge amount of celebrities, to be honest.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Not a heck of a lot. I did get to talk a bunch of those rugby players, you know, during the Six Nations. And like when we chatted off, like sometimes I would, like if there was talking to multiple, one would come on first and be stuck chatting to me. Probably not their ideal scenario because they're like, who's this prick? I know I'm getting paid to talk. But now I've got to make some small talk. But it was always cool.
I'm sure you'll be fine, yeah.
It was always just cool small talk. Like, have you got kids? How old are your kids? Like, it was just like regular small talk. Like, 100%. Talking to any
and it's
other
a professional
parent.
Environment.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was never like giddy and acting like a knobhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but admittedly, if
you're
there was
ready
like,
for it.
If another one came on, I didn't exist and they would just talk to each other because they knew each other. All those players know each other.
Yeah.
So I would just be like sitting there in the corner like, okay, we're ready to go now, guys.
The nerdy guy with the whiteboard.
Basically, yeah.
I've written up your stats.
Yeah, I got your stats for you, Mr. Jackman.
Okay. Some games.
So Hurricanes flogged the Waratahs 41-12.
Yes.
That was to be expected. That didn't was first up that. Against the 11th. The Blues beat the Rebels by a similar margin, but away from home and a slightly higher-ranked team.
The Rebels,
will be disappointed.
The Rebels were on for about the first 20 minutes and then sort of fell away.
Yeah, Mark Talia did pretty well.
The Blues this year have been, you know what you think of Blues rugby, you think of flashy backs, your long-range tries, and a little bit of weakness up front.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite this year.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Stern Vern has got that team, really, really focusing on just a hard graft and a grit, which has been really good to see.
Prop gets a try, and that's an encouraging sign of how the forward pack's going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, Hoskins the Tutu, dude.
Yeah.
He's been playing the house down, dude.
I think he's the top try scorer in Super Rugby.
He's looking outstanding.
All Blacks contendable?
Really, really hope so. Yeah, he just, if he could be... he's
big French contract contendable.
Oh, yeah, they'd love him over there. He just needs to have a little bit more consistency on defense. A little bit more activity, a little bit more physicality on defense. But he's bloody world class. Well, he's playing really well.
Yeah. The Highlanders went to Tonga and played Moana Pacifica in Tonga for the first time ever. It was pissing down with rain.
Which was a shame.
Which is the crowd was great.
Yeah.
I seem to remember, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like the first game played in Samoa was quite the buzz that they seem to have in Tonga.
Yeah.
But Samoa gets...
I can't even remember it.
Samoa gets more games than Tonga, for sure. Like, I don't think Tonga... has played a home game.
That was their first ever...
For years.
Well, no, Tonga,
like whenever they play the Pacific Nations Cup, Tonga plays their home games in like Fiji or something.
It's a nation of 100,000 people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's bugger... There's like, no and like, there. I don't know, if you're listening to this anywhere else in the world, you might be like, well, don't all the Pacific Island nations have that many people? Fiji almost has 1 million.
Yeah, Samoa, I think, is substantially bigger than Tonga, and then Fiji is on another level entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not talking giant.
Still small amounts of people, but yeah, even in themselves, because they get lumped together a lot. Yeah. Each one of them is very different. And you think
about the amount of incredible talent that's come out of those islands.
That's incredible.
You know, like it's insane.
Yes.
It's insane. Like talent across both codes. What are you doing on your phone?
Oh, I was just going to check up Tonga population.
All right. What have we got here? Google. This is called Mark Googling on his phone.
Tonga population, yeah, you're right, 100,000.
What do you think I was making it up?
Just checking. Okay. Samoa population, 200,000. So it's double the size.
I was just about to say that.
Okay, sorry, bud.
Just steal my moment.
So it doesn't seem like that much different, but that's literally double.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Fiji is 1 million, so that's five times that.
But what's double two?
Oh, I know. So it's drastically different. Even though they get lumped in the same as being one and the same, they are very different places.
100%. Hold that.
But yes, the crowd seemed to be enjoying it.
Which is good to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shame about the rain and the loss for Moana Pacifica.
Yeah.
But good for the Highlanders.
Yeah.
Crusaders lost to the Reds. We talked about that in 1999.
That was just...
What do you think of David Havili getting charged down? That was Razor's call to put Havili at 10.
That was whose call?
Scott Robertson.
Why was it?
Apparently he put the word down the pipeline that they needed to play David Havili at 10.
Well, they've had this bloke, Hohepa, playing.
Who's a bit of a journeyman, like play for Southland or something.
Yeah, and like...
Because who's their regular guy? I forget who he is, he's injured.
Richie Mwanga.
No, their other guy.
The guy that won seven.
The other guy
got injured very early in the season.
Maybe even in the preseason.
And he wasn't their regular, because before that was Richie Mwanga. So there was a guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was a kid, young guy.
I'm sure there's another one.
So you're off your game at the moment. You haven't been watching. I haven't been watching
rugby for a month.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Halfpenny got his rugby debut
finally, because he got injured in the preseason when they went to like Munster or something. It's like
a place where he was.
He's played there millions of times and he gets injured.
Yeah.
Fergus Burke. That's the guy. Fergus Burke has been injured. Then Revers Rehana is the youngster.
Yeah, right.
He was injured for a while as well.
And then
he's only 23. So they've had Riley Hohepa, who's like the 29-year-old guy who played for Counties Manukau.
And yeah, they've gone from one of the top three or four number 10s in the world.
To a journeyman who's barely played any Super Rugby.
A guy who like played incredibly well.
Arguably one of the best 10s in the world.
Like that position is just so vital.
Pivotal. Yeah, exactly.
It really, really is. And Harvilli is not... Harvilli's a fantastic footballer, but he's not a number 10.
No.
Yeah, so look, they've got... This is a massive clash against the Highlanders.
Yeah.
And I, like, it's petty, but I really want to see them lose.
Yeah, me as well.
I really want to see them
lose. Part of me will just feel better if they don't make the playoffs, because then they can't win.
Yeah, exactly. Because if they make the playoffs...
You get everything.
I can just so see them beating us. I can just see it.
I know. And then you can see if they win it from eight, the Super Rugby administrator saying, we told you eight teams was the right amount for a freaking amount of knockouts.
Oh, God. It would be an absolute tragedy.
Indeed.
It really would.
The worst game, I think, of the weekend, arguably from a spectacle point of view. I mean, if you like seeing lots of points, it was good. But the Chiefs flogged the Force 56-7.
Yeah.
That was just not a contest.
It was a Division 1 team playing a Division 2 team.
Basically.
Yeah. So the Force can't make it now, can they?
They're in 10th. They are only three points behind the Crusaders. I think everyone can still make it mathematically.
So who are the Crusaders got for their run home?
I know they've got the Highlanders.
Come on, you meant to have the staff. What have you around for?
They've got the Highlanders next.
And they've got us at one point.
Let's have a look. Crusaders have got the Highlanders away.
Yes. Come on, Highlanders.
The Brumbies away.
Come on, Brumbies.
The Blues at home.
Come on, Blues.
And then the Moana Pacifica boys at home.
They kind of need to win two.
They need to beat the Highlanders and Moana Pacifica. So the Highlanders may hold the fate of the Crusaders in their hands.
And their small little hands.
Yes.
Wow, that's exciting. Yep. What night's that on? What time's that
Which
on?
Game?
The Highlanders. You meant to know this stuff.
Saturday at 7:05.
Get back in your rhythm, dude. Maybe do a live stream of that.
Just, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Just riding it.
Okay.
Come on. Get them out.
Well, they'll win that game just to put a dampener on it.
What else we got coming up?
The Brumbies also got past the Drua 28-20, which was not that convincing, seeing as the Drua are generally pretty poor away from home.
Yeah. Okay. Righto.
Upcoming Moana Pacifica Chiefs. Chiefs should...
Chiefs will smoke them.
Smoke them, yeah, exactly. I think it's being played at Mount Smart.
So it's a home game.
Yeah, it's a home game. Reds, Rebels. That's a tasty one because both of them have got similar records.
Yeah.
It's in Brisbane, so you'd go the Reds.
I think the Reds are on the up.
Yeah. Blues, Hurricanes is top of the table clash.
Yeah,
Saturday
really looking
afternoon,
forward to it.
Eden Park.
It's a Saturday Arvo, is it?
Yeah, I think 4:35.
I'm thinking about going.
Are you?
You want to go?
Maybe.
Just go to the rugby. Make some content.
Haven't been to any games this year.
We'll go. Where should you go?
I'll talk to the boss about it.
Okay.
I don't know if she's got any other plans, that's all.
Fantastic. We'll go to that, and then we'll come back and we'll live stream the Highlanders Crusaders.
Highlanders Crusaders on the same day after that game. And then, you won't get home in time to see kickoff, though. 4:35.
I might be trying, like multimedia it. I'll be on my phone on a train. We'll be watching it, and you'll be on your other phone recording it.
Live streaming.
Yeah. What a treat that'll be for
everybody. Waratahs, Brumbies. Brumbies should win it, even though it's in Sydney.
Yeah. And then Waratahs aren't offering shit.
Force Drua is an important one for the Drua to try and get an away win.
Yeah,
they're in eighth.
The Drua should win that.
You reckon?
But the Drua can poop the bed.
The Force beat the Reds at home, and they beat the Crusaders at home.
Yeah, I think the Drua will win that, hopefully.
Drua not good at away.
Yeah, and that's about as way as you can get.
Yeah, two Perth.
Furthest away teams, aren't they? Yeah, definitely.
Is it further from Fiji to Perth or Dunedin to Perth?
I'd say Fiji.
Okay.
Because you look at the the longitude, it's a further latitude.
Okay.
No, is it a longitude? No, it's a long... Latitudes are these. The longitudes are these, aren't they?
Right.
So it's a longitudinal distance, but... That's further away. Oh, jeez. We're doing it. This is the Google episode, this one.
Fiji to Perth distance, 6,385
kilometers. Okay, 6,385.
It does look further than Dunedin, just at the brief glance at the map.
Of course it is.
Do I even need to do this?
Well, I just want to be proved right. This is exciting.
Yeah, Dunedin to Perth 4,800, so it's significantly further.
It's quite clearly because
as soon as I looked at the map, I was like, "Yeah, he's right."
I know the map. Like, okay. I'm a maps man.
I'm a flags guy. I'm really good with flags. Well,
you should have a flag, but you know, who you should have a flag battle with
who?
With my man.
Oh,
my
main
man. Hamish.
Okay.
Who's sick at the moment?
Is he?
Poor bugger. Yeah. He was. Poor guy. He was like streaming. He streams all the Sevens games. I was watching him and he was like, he looked like Rudolph. His nose was like, it was so red because he'd been blowing his nose so much. And he puts his head up and it was just like, can I just see him? And you could see he was in pain and stuff. And then he called and he was calling. I think he called like freaking over 20 hours of content over the weekend, sick as a dog. And I was like, dude, you need some rest, some vitamin C, and some sunlight, you vampire bastard. That's
the brutal part of doing live streamings for a job, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm sick and I've only got to do like a 10-minute video, I can get some energy enough, like pop some ibuprofen. And
yeah, but he's just going to sit there and grind it out.
20 hours.
And like sit there calling the whole thing.
The hell with that.
The Kiwi lads, the guy,
the man, the legend,
the Kiwi lad himself.
Gezza loves him.
Yeah, well, he's a heck of a man. He really is.
Hamish.
He is. I got cheated on you, podcast-wise.
Oh, no.
I was on the Rugby Recap, which is the rugby podcast for
South Africa.
No. There's the Rugby Recap.
Oh, that's Tim, Rugby that's Bit. Tim and Hamish's one.
That's Rugby Etch and the Kiwi Lads. And and they're usually really straight down the middle. Just
had them going down the garden path.
Call some normal, but there were, Tim wasn't there.
Oh.
Because he couldn't make it because he was in the air or something. Or just their busy schedules didn't match up. So I went on and we talked about some very odd stuff. And
has Hamish got himself a girlfriend yet?
You'd have to ask him.
Okay.
I think he's...
If you're watching Hamish, let me know if you got a
probably girlfriend. Mrs. Palmer. Okay. And five daughters, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, none of my business, really. Well, as long as you're happy, I don't really mind.
Are you happy? Oh, as long as you're happy, mate. Yeah. Can I tell you one other thing that's been grinding my gears a little bit?
Go on.
Look, the most brutal thing that happened to New Zealand rugby fans last year was losing the World Cup final.
Okay.
It was a hard thing to watch.
Right.
It was a hard thing to experience.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Nobody likes losing a World Cup final.
It sucked.
It does suck.
And one of the worst bits about losing a World Cup final is watching the other team receive their flowers, right?
Receive their flowers?
Yeah. You know, they're awarding, there's the ceremony, you know. They,
the medals and shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, just, you know, basking in the glory and all that sort of stuff, right? Good thing about sport, the other team celebrates for a little bit, forget about it, it's next weekend. Not so much the case for the World Cup.
Okay.
You know? And this is just my own pettiness, but this whole chasing the sun shit, which I refuse to watch, it's been like the rugby internet has just been an ongoing fucking victory lap for the South African rugby team. And I'm just sitting there going,
yeah.
Stop it. You won. We're dead already. Leave us. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. You won by 1 point. Yes, we know. You won by 1 point 3 weeks in a row. Yes.
It's an interesting one because.
Stop. just leave it.
I watched the first episode, right?
Yeah.
And I did a review of that episode, and that did really well. Lots of people
watched it. I'm petty as, but we lost.
Like, while I was gone, I was still on YouTube a little bit. I mean, it wasn't much because I was out trying to travel. But every rugby channel under the sun was doing Chasing the Sun.
Yes.
Egg Chasers was doing Under the Sun. Wildcard was doing Chasing the Sun. Jim Hamilton was doing Chasing the Sun.
And they were getting giant views. And I released my Hateful Heath from Huntley that week.
Bagging Chasing the Sun. one comment I got.
Mine died.
I think on our last podcast.
And they all fucking went rocketed.
On our last podcast, I think I asked you if you'd watched it. And you were like, fuck that. I'm not watching that
shit.
Why
would I want to watch
it? A lot of the South African viewers, I think, gave you a bit of shit for it. Like, fuck you. It's a cool show.
I got a lot of
One guy was like, Oh, fair enough. I wouldn't watch fucking Under the Cloud or something if New Zealand had won it. Yeah, like, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is understandable.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if we had
been, I like watching it because I just like, well, I watch like any fucking rugby documentary.
If we got bundled out in the quarters or something like that, I might
be as bad, right?
But the way we lost, like, not that we deserve to win. They deserve to win. Yes, you won. You deserve to win. You won the game. And you and it's just me being petty, by all means.
You just don't want to relive those moments.
It's just been painful. It's just been like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Can we just stop? I feel like I need to get round low.
He was reviewing it as well. That's what I mean. All my YouTube suggestions were just like, more Chasing the Sun, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
And people were actually asking me, hey, where's your review of episode 2? I'm like, I'm on holiday, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Everyone's been so positive about rugby and love and stuff and, you know, conquering all evil, and it's the most important thing in the flipping world.
I genuinely like it, though. It's just a really well made show.
I'm just gonna dig right into it.
Yeah, I can understand why. A rural,
hateful guy talking shit.
I can understand why it's not your cup of tea. But
I
watched the Netflix one. I watched Chasing the Sun. Did you watch the referees one that was on Rugby Pass? Whistleblowers. No. I watched that. I watch all the rugby documentaries.
I know. Did you watch the one that I wanted to watch, which I haven't, which I can't find? Is the Stan Sport one about the Australian?
Yeah, that one's only on Stan Sport. I couldn't find that either.
Yeah, I would have liked to have watched that. That because that's traffic jam.
Drama.
Traffic jam.
Yeah,
traffic.
It's a car crash. Watching the car crash. Traffic
jam. Yeah. Get the fuck out of the way. Oh, God, I'm late for work.
It's fucking Eddie. Get out of the way, Eddie, you bastard.
We're not going for the croissants. So that's what's been getting on my wick. Yeah. Of late, and that in the Super Rugby format. But yes, congratulations. Now I have to justify it by saying once again, congratulations, South Africa. I'm glad you.
I think there's a difference between not wanting to relive the pain of a Rugby World Cup loss
over
and being like, you know, bitter about it. It's just, you don't want to. I don't think that's one that needs justifying personally.
Yeah. Our last video we did, I said some things about scrums.
Right.
I think that there's been a few times we've done this and I've copped a lot of shit from South Africans.
Yeah.
The most recent one we did, I copped so much shit from South African fans.
You don't endear yourself to the South African rugby fans.
I just like running rugby.
He loves Curtly Aronson.
I do love Curtly Aronson. He loves Kane and Moody. I love Lekanu Arm. I just want to see them with the ball in their hands a little bit more. Yeah, I really do. They're a brilliant team. Fantastic, wonderful rugby team. And they deserve to win the World Cup final, and it's brilliant. And this is the thing that you do when your intense rivals are victorious. You, even when they're not, you take the piss out of each other. Mm. You know, that's a big part
of it. Banter has to be part of the game,
part of it. You know? So don't misconstrue my banter.
People
for take
you too seriously. People take you a bit too literally.
Yeah, please don't. That's a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a little bit with my other channel, the China channel.
What, when you? Oh, you've done your Oh, look.
12 values of socialism. People are like, why are you pointing that shit out when I call it like propaganda? They're like, what are you?
They don't hear that part of it.
No.
They just hear, you're talking about socialism. Do a clap so I can...
Plug my other channel.
Decent clap. So the reason I get him to clap is so I can see a spike
on the sound thing. You need to look for a C-bomb. You need to look for a plug. While I was in China, I did take some more video. I traveled around a bit.
So we've got a good 3 years more.
Worth of content.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I ate a lot of McDonald's and KFC breakfasts. You can buy noodles for breakfast at KFC in China.
Satisfying?
No, not as good as like the noodle shop down the road.
But you went there still?
But I still went there. Right. They do decent coffee.
All right.
I found that interesting that everywhere that sells a mocha is basically like a coffee with a spoonful of Milo in it.
Ah, right.
Yeah, only Starbucks did a mocha, which is like, that's actually a mocha. Because I don't usually drink a mocha because I'm a bitter old bastard and I need a bit of sweetening up.
You have mochas, do you?
Yeah, generally.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not, I'm not much of a Americano kind of guy.
I thought you'd be a tall black.
No, God, no. I need some sugar.
I'd be like, I thought it was the way you, that's how you like your men and that's how you like your coffee.
No, that's how I like my men, but that's not how I like my coffee. Yeah.
What do you like? What would be a coffee if it was like Ben Tamiyafuna? Big fat.
The fat black. Big fat. That doesn't sound right when it came out of my mouth. That sounds so bad. I'm sorry. I promise I'm not racist.
I just poked myself in the eye.
I love all people.
Yeah, exactly.
Genuinely.
Yeah, I know you do. We're talking about coffees. Okay. Anyway, look, well, good to have you
by
back.
By the way, a Starbucks coffee in China.
Yeah, we're still on this.
It's 36 RMB, which is like...
What does that mean?
That's like fucking $7 or something.
It's
like
quite expensive.
For 36 RMB, I could buy an entire McDonald's combo.
Right.
I could get a fucking Big Mac combo for that price.
So why is the...
Starbucks is just stupid expensive.
When you're saying like, if you go to Starbucks, it's almost like a...
It's like a status thing.
Really?
It's like, yeah, fucking drink Starbucks, motherfucker.
And you go to Starbucks here and you're like, it's just...
Why are you drinking Starbucks?
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, the Starbucks here is overpriced too, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like just, all cafes are kind of overpriced.
I guess a little bit, but yeah.
Well, we're just old and we remember the prices from 1995.
Back in my day.
I could get a Coke for 80 cents.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, champ.
Well, you did it. You're back. Welcome back. Good to have you back, champ. This is what, like, I'm always, look.
You're reaching.
I'm always, get in the middle. I'm always, have you missed your rock climbing?
Yeah.
Rock climb. So now you got your Monday activity.
You know, I went out to a lunch with my wife,
yes,
her three high school friends,
uh-huh,
and one of their husbands.
Yes.
And the husband also went to the same high school as these girls.
Uh-huh.
So they have their conversations. And I'm on the periphery.
Yes.
Every now and again, they throw me a bone just so I don't look too bored.
Yeah.
And the husband at one point said, "So do you do any exercise, Mark?" And I said, "Well, actually, in the last kind of 6 months, I've been doing a bit of rock climbing." And he said, "That's not exercise."
How
the fuck can you get up a wall, pull your 100-kilo body up a wall, and not get tired?
Should we role play that?
No.
Okay. And I don't speak Mandarin, so I'm going to say this in English. Mark. Chap. Do you, my old boy, do any exercise at any stage? Because you look like shit.
Am I speaking Chinese to you or am I speaking English?
English.
I said, I've been rock climbing recently.
Oh, like a child's playground sort of thing?
That's basically what he said. Because
you couldn't really think of anything more physically. Well, no, you could think of something more physically demanding, but it's a very physically demanding thing.
Do and like do it lazily.
No.
You can go for a run and basically just walk and look at your phone the whole time if you want. But you...
All right, we're just having an off-camera chat on chat.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it again.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, good to see everybody.
Good to see you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.